plantar fasciitis, the itis part, is inflammation of. We're talking about inflammation of the plantar fascia. It does fall back on you. You've got to take some responsibility and manage those symptoms yourself. Your exercises, your little bit of massage, your ice for relief. Stay in your supportive footwear. Stay in the footwear that you know helps alleviate the pain. A person that is repetitively elongating this big fascia on the bottom of the foot, many people can get away with that just fine. No symptomology, it's completely fine. But then some people are more prone to these sorts of micro tears, and that might be because of...
Welcome to the Comfort Walk and Talk, where every step towards comfort is a step towards a healthier you.
We're your hosts, Ash,
Jeff,
and Ben.
Together, let's walk the talk, transforming your lives from the ground up. Welcome back, everyone. We're here for another podcast, and we're here talking about a really interesting topic on plantar fasciitis. But firstly, I want to introduce our co-host today, Ash.
Hey guys, I'm Ash. I'm the social media manager, and I'm excited to hear what our special guest has to say today.
And our special guest, we're really, really pleased to have Sophie here today. Sophie and her husband, Jason, actually run one the only pediatric children's podiatry focus clinic in Queensland. And they have a really special expertise. But Sophie's going to be talking about plantar fasciitis today as a special topic. And she's got over 20 years of experience in podiatry. As I say, they have this really specific podiatry clinic expertise. So there's some really interesting background there. And also Sophie and her husband actually founded and created a footwear brand called Scobie, which we actually are... basically manufacturing and selling in the market. So there's some interesting backstory to that as well in terms of the expertise that Sophie brings. So without further ado, Sophie, you might want to just follow up on any other quick points that you've got on your introduction, and then I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Well, thank you, Jeff. Hey, Ash. I think you summed it up pretty well there, Jeff. I guess I've been a podiatrist since the early 2000s. And over that time, we sort of transitioned very much into the kids' podiatry space. So we do have a children's only podiatry clinic. But that doesn't mean I don't still know a lot about the adult foot and plantar fasciitis, which you got me here for today. So I'm happy to help out in that respect.
Very good. All right. Well, my first question, I started this business, as I say, about 15 years ago. And my first question is, when I started, I could not pronounce plantar fasciitis.
How do you spell it?
And the amount of people and the definitions and the explanations from the consumer are amazing in terms of to our customer service. And yet it's probably one of the most searched foot issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very interested to hear, and one of the things I hear is that plantar fasciitis equals heel pain. So that's about the simplicity of sort of where I started the business and understanding. So perhaps you could give a bit of an introduction into why it's such an important term.
All right. It's an incredibly common presentation. It's one of the most common that an adult would walk into a podiatry clinic for. So plantar fasciitis, the itis part, is inflammation of, just like if we said tonsillitis or something, inflammation of the tonsils, we're talking about inflammation of the plantar fascia. So I wish I had a foot model right here in front of me at this moment in time, but effectively the plantar fascia is like, think of like a really thick rubber band and it runs from the heel, the front of the heel, to the ball of the foot.
Yeah.
And it's really thick and it stretches as we weight bear. So if this is my arch profile, I know everyone listening can't see my hand right now, but I'm creating an arch profile here with my hand, and I've got a rubber band that runs from the back of the heel to underneath the ball of the foot. Every time we weight bear and put weight through our foot, that big fascia that acts like a rubber band elongates and stretches.
Okay.
So that's where the fascia is, and what we're talking about here, Jeff, is inflammation of that
fascia.
So that's
what affects the heel, is it? Is it pulling from the heel, is it? Or is that what's causing
Correct.
The pain?
Yeah, the origin of this fascia, or the very starting point, which we call the origin, is actually its insertional point back here, is at the back of the heel. So, sorry, I'll start that again. It actually sits at the very front point of the heel.
Okay.
So actually when people commonly present with plantar fasciitis, they usually say they have pain in this one spot in their heel. And if you put their foot up, you can isolate it really easily. We grab our thumb and we put our thumb right on this point, which is the origin of the plantar fascia, right at that front of the heel bone, the calcaneus, and you dig right in there and say, is that pain? And they'll jump out of their seat. That's the pain. And you know that it's going to involve this, the plantar fascia.
And okay. What age do people usually present with this? Because if it's so common, you know, it sounds like it's generally an older person thing, but what age would you say is the most common?
Look, I'd say we would more so see it clinically in the over 40s. It's not commonly seen in the younger age group. What we're talking about is a big thick fascia that's effectively getting small micro tears in it. So it can be something that is acquired over time. So through repetitive, you know, like a long-term sort of more chronic pain. But in other people as well, it can have more of an acute onset. So for example, it's actually relatively common in women after pregnancy when there's a few changes in the elasticity and so forth of that ligament, and they might have a few troubles at that age. So ASH, plantar fasciitis, is incredibly common, and we would see more of the plantar fasciitis in that age group of the definitely the 40 plus age group is where we would commonly see it.
What about, you know, you said plantar fasciitis presents itself because of the common, you know, it's common tearing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that in a lot of athletes? You know, the constant repetition of, you know, maybe like a marathon runner or someone that's constantly pounding the pavement, so to speak. Is that another, you know, reason, or is that just a, you know, wear and tear of the body?
There's a bit of yes and no to that one, Ash. Mm-hmm. So less so in athletes. Athletes tend to be very well prepared. They're going to have, you know, more often than not, you know, the correct footwear. They're doing the right recovery and all that kind of thing. We'd see it definitely in our weekend warriors, our men and women that want to go out and run a marathon and perhaps haven't run one for 10 years. That's when we'd see it, 100%.
One of the things I hear, and this is some of the marketing or information, is overpronation causes plantar fasciitis. Can you explain to me what that means and what you're trying to avoid with what?
Okay, that's actually a really good question, Jeff. So plantar fasciitis and the micro tears that we get through this ligament at the bottom of the foot, it is caused because of someone's mechanics.
Yeah.
So we tend to see that, let's just imagine we wake up in the morning and we sit there, or we're sitting here right now, we're not weight bearing. So our foot's got a really nice arch profile like this. And then as soon as we weight bear, our foot flattens out and elongates a bit.
A flat foot, is it?
Everyone's foot will lengthen or elongate as soon as we weight bear.
Yeah.
But what we tend more so to see in these people with plantar fasciitis is we will see more of a flat foot type. And when we talk flat foot without getting too specific with it, we're sort of talking about not just the flat arch, but also the rear foot or the calcaneus, that heel bone, also everts or tilts outwards. So it is more common in that sort of foot type because they're more prone to that flattening and that elongation of their arch profile.
So is overpronation when they just excessively push the arch down? Is that what happens? And
excessively pronating beyond what is considered clinical norms. Okay.
Customers, does it mean that if you're excessively pushing it down for a long time, does it mean you're tearing it more?
Tendon? Yeah, a person that is repetitively elongating this big fascia on the bottom of the foot, our plantar fascia, many people can get away with that just fine. No symptomology, it's completely fine. But then some people are more prone to these sorts of micro tears, and that might be because of their mechanics. They just pronate more than another person. It can also be due to other physiological reasons and so forth as well, such as I mentioned before, post-pregnancy, when there's changes in the makeup of our elasticity and things like that as well.
So Sophie, what about prevention? You know, how do you prevent plantar fasciitis? You know, I know as an example, my mum, I know that every morning when she wakes up, she has a pair of arch support shoes beside her bed, because she knows that if she doesn't step into those straight away throughout the day, go to the bathroom in the slides, that her feet will be sore by the end of the day. So it's a constant thing. So how do you prevent the plantar fasciitis from occurring in someone that's maybe of an age where you're starting to think about it and take care of your feet, mm-hmm. but where you haven't got to the stage yet of, oh man, I'm in trouble?
Okay. Well, in that, it's actually funny that you mentioned with your mum there, Ash, that first thing in the morning, she will slip her feet straight out into some supportive footwear or she starts to run into a bit of trouble. Because one of the most common symptoms or presentations that someone will complain of with plantar fasciitis is actually morning pain.
So should I tell her that she has plantar fasciitis?
Perhaps we should see a podiatrist and get a clinical diagnosis on that first.
Sure.
But morning pain is extremely common. And the reason for that is whilst we're sleeping and we're in this position of non-weight bearing, our feet are relaxed. And so naturally we have a little bit of contraction through this ligament on the bottom of our foot. And then the very first thing we do is swing our feet over the edge of the bed and bang, put 60, 80, 100, however many kilos of body weight through our feet. So one of the best things, you can tell this one to your mum, is tell her before she jumps out of bed in the morning, it's almost like a little exercise that she can do before she takes her first steps. So she can hang her feet over the bed. And what I would often recommend is actually writing the alphabet with your feet. I know it sounds a little bit silly, but you can tell her if she's pointing her toes upwards and as if she's like writing the alphabet in the sky with her feet. That just promotes a little bit of blood flow, warms up our feet, gets them going for the day before we go and put all this weight through our feet. Another thing you can do is just a little bit of massage through that that ligament as well. So just pressing nicely in through the bottom, just gently without eliciting any pain, just in through the bottom of the foot just to get us going at the start of the day. But you did mention there as well that your mum gets into supportive footwear. So supportive footwear is incredibly important in protecting the plantar fascia. So what you're effectively doing is you're maintaining this arch profile
Yep.
that we have rather than letting it elongate excessively to a point of pain or to a point of small micro tears in the fascia. What we're doing is that arch support that we can get by choosing a great supportive shoe, that's actually going to prevent her fascia from excessively elongating and pulling and causing pain there.
Wow. Okay. So I should tell her to keep doing that. And
keep doing what she's
doing.
So
that prevents it. So when she gets older, that she won't have the same problems that she would have had if she didn't, you know, write the alphabet with her feet of a morning and she doesn't wear the, you know, arch support shoes and things like that. It definitely all helps.
Yeah, 100%.
If someone has really bad plantar fasciitis, what are some of the novel ideas that you have to give them some pain relief?
Yeah.
You know, what's great. The Panadol for them?
Yes. Well, Panadol is one of them. So there's a great acronym that we use a lot as health professionals, RICE, RICE, rest, ice, compression, elevation. So the same kind of thing applies because it is effectively an injury. But the one that I really like in this instance is actually the ice component. So there's a great little trick you can do at home. Grab yourself a water bottle, like a 600 ml Mount Franklin water bottle, 3/4 fill it with water, throw it in the freezer. And then when you're sitting at your desk at work during the day, or you come home and it's a little bit uncomfortable after a long day of being on your feet, perhaps, just sit down and gently roll your foot forwards and backwards over that ice bottle. And ice is a natural anti-inflammatory. So it's fabulous for just reducing that inflammation and reducing the pain associated with plantar fasciitis.
Amazing. You mentioned also ice and compression. So we have a range of compression socks that actually talk about plantar fasciitis and all of that.
Mm-hmm. You know,
how does the compression work to help reduce pain?
Compression works by helping promote blood flow. Yeah. So what we're doing here is we're promoting blood flow to an area that actually, Jeff, has a really tricky or limited blood supply because we're going from bone to bone. In this instance, as opposed to ligaments which come from a muscle to a bone, when we're going from bone to bone, there's very little blood supply. So what we're trying to do with compression is just promote a bit of blood supply to the area. And if you can get all these white blood cells and so forth there, then we're going to be able to promote recovery and promote repair of the area.
Amazing. Now, with plantar fasciitis, we talk about prevention and all that. If someone gets rid of it or doesn't suffer from plantar fasciitis after having suffered from it, and you stop, does it go away permanently, or does it come back if you stop maybe wearing arch support or doing the exercises or whatever?
Plantar fasciitis can be a little bit recalcitrant. It can, for people that have had it previously, they're quite likely to have a return onset of plantar fasciitis. So I would definitely recommend, if you've had it previously, then stay in your supportive footwear. Stay in the footwear that you know helps alleviate the pain. Because if you decide, oh, you know what, actually, I'm feeling pretty good, I'm just going to go and do like a barefoot 10K run or whatever you think might be some great idea that day. If you've had troubles previously, you're probably going to flare things up again by doing that. So I would definitely recommend that you get back in the supportive footwear, just maintain that throughout the day, especially if you're going and doing large amounts of exercise or doing your 10,000 steps for the day.
I also hear that it's one of the most common issues. Like, there's a significant portion of the population that suffer from plantar fasciitis or need arch supports to help fix that. Is that true? Is that, you know, give me your explanation. How many of your customers, for example, are suffering from plantar fasciitis?
Oh, goodness. I wish I could give you some statistics right now off the top of my head, but certainly clinically, of the patients that come in for mechanical issues or pain issues, so there's sort of two types of podiatry out there. There's the palliative that come in for their general nail care and so forth, and then there's your mechanical related issues. Of those mechanical issues, I would say in my experience, what I'd see come through the door is, you know, one in every five or six of those is related to heel pain for sure. And definitely a great idea to go and get a diagnosis from a podiatrist, because there are other pathologies that are very similar to plantar fasciitis that present with similar symptomology. Yeah. So if you can get it, you know, a proper diagnosis, an assessment and so forth, then at least you know you're following the right pathway for treatment.
Yeah. It sounds like if there are so many people that have plantar fasciitis and it's so common and there are so many ways that you can help treat it, what would you say to someone that maybe has just got plantar fasciitis, has been diagnosed with it, but how would you tell them to live their lives? How can you say, you know, because, you know, my grandmother has plantar fasciitis and I know that it's a huge pain point for what she can do during the day and the places that she can go, even with those remedies, even with arch support. And she probably doesn't honestly do the exercises, but that's beside the point. But it's, how do you say to those people, you know, your day-to-day lives can still be amazing if you do all of these things, if you, you know, if you wear the right arch support footwear, and if you, like, what would you say to those people? Because if it is so common, then how many Australians are out there, you know, with this issue?
Yep.
And how do they live their lives each day?
100%. It's so debilitating. Like, it really is, because we need our feet to move around. And if you're on your feet all day, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the hairdresser in the salon standing on their feet all day. It can be the mum doing the school pickup of the afternoon, but that really hurts when she gets going for the afternoon. And it can be really, really limiting in people's daily lives. I've got a really good friend of ours who, I would never do this, but she runs 10Ks like every single day, every single day. I don't know how she does it, but she's had this heel pain, similar sort of presentation to plantar fasciitis, but it's just, I've seen it, how it's really affected her, I guess just like her everyday confidence and enjoyment in life, because straight away something's taken away from her that you can't, that you're so used to doing, you can't otherwise do now. So my biggest recommendation to people would just be, it is a lot of management of your symptoms. So if you're getting significant pain and discomfort, go and see your health professional, visit a podiatrist, get that diagnosis, and then it does fall back on you. You've got to take some responsibility and manage those symptoms yourself. So make sure you're doing all those things that we discussed before, like your exercises, your little bit of massage, your ice for relief, staying in your supportive footwear, all of that kind of thing, because ultimately if you do that, you should be able to stay on top of the management. You should be relatively comfy, you know, for the greater part of the day.
You can run those 10Ks.
You can run those 10Ks, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should be able to. It shouldn't stop you from doing those things. And if it is, you know, it could be something more as well. So all the more reason to go and get that checked out. There are other remedies and things out there as well. There's shock therapy. There's, you know, cortisone injections. There's other things, you know, that are next steps for people that are very severe. But there are options out there. But just know that you've got to take a lot of that responsibility yourself. You can't just, you know, walk into the podiatrist room or just, you know, think that one visit and you're going to fix it all.
No, that's good. And would you say, I mean, again, some of the information would say that, you know, a big number, like I think it was 70% of people overpronate or tend to overpronate or somewhere around that number, you know. Would you say that most, if it's that sort of number, most people are going to benefit from in terms of not be suffer from having use of arch support and so forth in terms of plantar fasciitis? Would you say that's a correct statement, or would you say it's a bit too simplistic?
It's probably a little bit too simplistic, just in the respect that a lot of factors do contribute to plantar fasciitis. So, whilst yes, the most common foot type is that pronating foot type, absolutely. I would, you know, definitely agree with that. Not all of those people are going to be symptomatic. So there's heaps of people out there that do have a flat foot type and they can get around perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, go their whole lives without reporting any pain. And there's lots of underlying factors there. There's people that are a little bit more hypermobile and things like that. So, you know, they've got different elasticity in their ligaments, in their tendons and so forth. But it really is, you know, the focus is on those people that are symptomatic. And as soon as they're symptomatic, you know, they should be doing something about it because you can alleviate the pain.
Do you see the other question is people on their feet all day. So like, I mean, nurses, teachers,
you know,
shop assistants and, you know, do you see more sort of issues in that community as opposed to maybe people more sort of office bound or? Mm-hmm. Is that something you see?
Definitely. 100%, Jeff. Yeah. So most commonly those people that we would see clinically that present with plantar fasciitis, they're definitely more often than not the workers that are on their feet all day. They're the hairdressers, the teachers, the nurses. Absolutely, Jeff. So, you know, it's why you see so many of these, you know, comfort footwear brands like really targeting that audience because these are the people that are on their feet all day long and that really need that kind of support in their shoes.
It makes sense if they're constantly tearing. I mean, I always look at this issue as it seems logical if you're stretching a rubber band and you're constantly tearing it from your heel, it makes sense that if you're on your feet all the day because, you know, that you're going to do that all day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to do something to prevent that.
If you sat all day long with your feet up in the air, you're not going to have plantar fasciitis.
No,
like,
exactly.
Not at all. So you wouldn't have any pain, any symptomology at all. So
gamers are pretty good then.
Absolutely. Gamers should be A-OK. the only thing that's really going to cause, well, that is going to cause the symptomology, the pain to be there for someone, they have to be weight-bearing.
Yeah.
So they've got to be in that position in the first instance. It doesn't discriminate in terms of the longer you weight-bear, you know, like I said, there can be some people that also can do a lot of office sitting. They can sit in the behind their office desk for 8 hours a day and the second they get up, it's painful and it really hurts. But there's a lot of factors we've got to take into consideration there. You know, perhaps it's post-pregnancy, perhaps there's been, you know, weight gain, perhaps there's been like other issues like that that have contributed to it. You know, we've got to look at their mechanics and so forth as well.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's one of the most common, obviously, you know, our customer service, you know, they talk to people all the time and this always comes up and they're always looking for a secret solution. And
do you have the secret solution?
five
words or less.
Do I have the secret solution? My secret fix is I'm going back to the ice bottle. Yeah. I really like, I can't rate it enough. It's really great for alleviating just that acute pain in that instance you need it. So when you get back to your desk, or when you're sitting there gaming, whatever you might be doing, you can roll that foot, right? Yeah. So that's it. And my number two would actually, I'd have to go with supportive footwear because when we're up and we're weight bearing, if we can put our foot in the best position possible, then that's going to be really favourable to preventing plantar fasciitis.
All right. Well, thanks, Sophie. It's been really interesting discussion. It is a fundamental reason why we try and do what we do with our footwear. And I'm really appreciative of all your great advice that you've given us today.
Yeah, there are so many things that you recommended. So, our listeners can definitely take those on board and hopefully it helps.
Yep. Thanks, Ash. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me, guys. I've really appreciated it.
And there's a lot more to know. And we've just scratched the surface, but we're going to be doing lots more of these discussions in future podcasts. Let us know if you want to hear more from Sophie because she's got a lot to talk about. So stay tuned. We'll see you in the next podcast.
See you guys. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Comfort Walk and Talk. If this episode has stepped up your foot care game, we'd love your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And don't forget to subscribe on your favourite platform so you never miss a step on your journey to comfort.
And for more insights, follow us at our social channels at The Comfort Walk and Talk. Walk comfortably until we meet again.